Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Crown Talking Drum. And in memory of Miss Diane Fink, we will be broadcasting her last broadcast. We send our warmest condolences to her family and friends, and all our love. Again, this is Crown Talking Drum.
Good afternoon. This is Delitha Williams, and we're in the trenches again, talking about health and wellness. And I, too, would like to express my condolences to Miss Diane and her family. And I pray that God would comfort them during this time of loss, and that he would shroud them with his love. I do hope and pray that everyone has had a wonderful day so far. For those of us who were off yesterday as a holiday, hope you enjoy that and that you have been blessed and that you have kept yourselves healthy and safe. And before I get started, my scripture will be coming from 1 Peter 4 and 10, and it says, "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." And so tonight, just wanted to share an article that was sent to me, and I think several of you may have gotten it from Avos Armstrong. And so I was just going to share some of this. A lot of it is so pertinent to what we see every day, and you know, it's just amazing that this particular article came out. So we're going to talk about it a little bit tonight. Might not be more than 30 minutes, but whatever. Okay. A lot of times when people go to doctors, they're a little anxious a lot of times because they've had lab work and they don't know what the labs are going to show, or they are anxious because they do have some issues going on. And there have been many times that patients tend to overlook or even ignore or omit things about their symptoms or about their medical history, the course of their treatment, or anything that might be pertinent that the professional can make a adequate and appropriate decision. Now, I have been in a position where the patient has said, "Well, I went to the doctor," and after they see the doctor, said, "Oh, I forgot to tell him this, this, and this." And so a lot of times people do forget, either because they don't want to mention it to the doctor, or they think it's insignificant, or, you know, or they don't think it has any bearing on their health, but I'm here to tell you that anything that is going on with you has a bearing on your health. It may not be anything serious, but it's anything that goes on in your body affects your health. And so you need to be cognizant of that. Now, years ago, when I worked for home health, we had a little booklet that we would give to our home health patients. And in that little booklet, they had several pages, I think about 10, that they could, each time they went for a doctor's visit, they could write things down. And so one of the things we would, that on that page, it was to write down their medicines, okay? Another was write down things that you want to discuss with the doctor. And sometimes it's not always the patient's fault. They may know what they want to tell the doctor, but sometimes doctors, because they do tend to overbook just in case somebody doesn't show up, are in a rush, and they don't, and so the patient just feel like, well, he's busy, he doesn't have time for me, or he doesn't have time to address my issues. But my comment and education to individuals is that when you have a doctor's appointment, you're paying that doctor, whether it's by insurance or what. And you don't leave there until your questions have been answered to your satisfaction. Now, bear in mind, don't go in with a grocery list, okay, because you may have to set up another appointment to finish your list. But you should have some things that you feel are a priority, and you just only know more than three. And that doctor should take the time to answer your questions. That is your right, and he should do it. That is part of his job. And if he doesn't take the time to do that, and something happens, you know, he puts his license at jeopardy. I know when I had my doctor, it was a female doctor. I'd had her just since I've been in Alabama, so I had her, I know, over 20 years. And then she decided to become a hospitalist, and she gave up her practice. So working home health, I knew the reputation of several doctors. And so I tried one, another female, and it wasn't that she, it was that she was not for me. Every doctor, you know, and patient have personalities, and you have to be aware of that. And the thing of it is especially if you're a medical person, you're very picky. So, and not in a negative way, but you know what, you know, you want to address. So then I tried another one, and that didn't work out. And she was a good doctor. But, you know, when I had questions, she's very slow in getting back to me. So I finally found a one of the doctors I worked with was telling me about the doctor that he goes to. And then I heard about another doctor. So I tried the one that the doctor I was working with suggested. And he's wonderful. My first visit, of course, you know, he looks at your records. And my first visit wasn't dealing directly with medicine. He didn't come out of the gate and you need to do this and you need that. No, he asked me questions about myself, my job, what I do, and about my activity. And of course, he's East Indian, so he's a vegetarian. And I told him, I said, look, I'm not going vegetarian. I said, but I do eat vegetables, but I am going to eat my seafood and my poetry. And I said, and I have a garden. He asked me what was in my garden, and I told him what was in my garden. He said, okay, fine, you're good. And so then he went on to address my lab work and, you know, things that I needed to do. And so it's very important that, especially when you're new to a doctor, that they get to know you. And I'm one of those people, I'm kind of headstrong, and we negotiate my health care. I know what I need to do, but I'm still, we're going to negotiate it. Can we try this first? And if that doesn't work, I'll go your way, you know. But that comes from knowing options. And even if you don't know options, it's good to ask about options. You know, well, I know you want me to do this. Is there an alternative, you know? And so those things. The other thing is paying attention to your symptoms. And just recently, my oldest sister, she said that she had like a fog over one of her eyes. And she kind of thought, you know, well, let me do eye drops, and that may clear it up. Well, for a day and a half, it didn't clear it up. So finally, she called an ophthalmologist. And, of course, he didn't call back, so she walked into his clinic, and he did his little test and sent her straight to the hospital. And what they think she had was a retinal stroke. So that's being in tune with your body. Then you know that I have encouraged and just pushed that everybody needs to know their body. Everybody needs to know what their body is trying to tell them. So don't ever overlook symptoms. They may be benign. They may be insignificant, but you don't know until you know, bring those symptoms up. You don't ignore them. You don't omit them. And you make sure you tell the doctor everything that's been going on with you. Okay? So the one thing that first things that it talked about was preventative screening. And a lot of people do not know how important preventative screenings are. You don't ignore these things, because if you do these preventative screenings, if there is a problem, you can catch it at a early stage. And then it may not be so life-altering. You know, a lot of times if we do things preventatively, and if there is a catch a critical diagnosis early, we can intervene early. So when you have a life-altering diagnosis and you catch that early, you're potentially will have a better outcome. So when your healthcare provider reminds you of your preventative screening, they're doing so because they know that if you do it early, it can make the difference between living a long, healthy life or, you know, not having a debilitating illness or even having a terminal illness. So, you know, don't ignore their recommendations because you think they're annoying to you, or you don't have time, or I don't have any symptoms. So one of the preventative screening is colorectal cancer screening. This is a biggie. When caught early, it outcome is is fantastic. But a lot of people don't want to be bothered. And they have made so many tests now that you can take home that are so much easier to do than in the past. I know initially ours was you had to do 3 cards, 3 different days, 3 days before you started, no red meat, no aspirin, just different protocols that you could not do because it would interfere with the test results. And the one we have now is you just do it one time. It's not a card. It's just you put it in fluid. And you can eat anything you want because the liquid is specific to blood only. And colorectal cancer screening has become so significant that they have dropped the age at which they do this. I can remember several years ago when I was doing home health, I had he was in his 20s, and he had colon rectal cancer. He had some symptoms, but didn't really think that's what it would be. And as it turned out, they caught it early enough. He still had to have chemo. We did chemo in the home, but he had a very positive outcome because it was not. It wasn't invasive. And so they could excise the portion that of the cancer, and he was very successful with that. And I've even had that experience in my clinic where we push and push and push, and I don't want to do it. It's yucky, but you know it's life saving. And finally, got the young man to do it. He did it. They found the cancer, cut it out, and no problems, no chemo, no nothing. So it's very important. The colorectal cancer screening is one of the best and crucial preventative screenings. The other is breast cancer screening. And you know that we're now in the month of breast cancer awareness. And even as a professional, you know, I know we're supposed to get our, all females should get mammograms. I mean, that wasn't anything new to me. But the guideline for the age at which you would get the mammogram was a lot higher. And now what we're finding, I've watched a lot of documentaries, that people that are not of age, and not that they can't get mammograms, but they're not at the age where it's recommended, are now having breast cancer, and some of the breast cancer is aggressive. Now, we know that if you have a family history of breast cancer, and typically any cancer, that you want to get breast cancer screening than what normally is recommended. But if you don't, then, you know, there is an age limit when you can start getting your mammograms. And I'm not mistaken, I got it written somewhere because I'm doing it for breast cancer luncheon. I think it's around 45. We had some 21-year-olds, 20-year-olds, 28, some 30s who had breast cancer. And it wasn't, you know, typical for them, but I was talking to the nurse practitioner who's going to do our breast cancer presentation, and she thinks it has a lot to do with hormones. I tend to agree because it's getting younger ages now, but whatever, you know. Breast cancer is very important. Cervical cancer screening, pap smears. If you've had a hysterectomy, cervix has been removed, your doctor will give you the guidelines. Sometimes you don't have to go as often, and sometimes you may not have to go at all. But as an average, you should get your pap smears. And any preventative test or screening that is recommended that may cause you to have a more healthy life, a longer life, just don't write off these recommendations. You know, a lot of people, I know a lot of women that have had breast cancer but didn't have any symptoms. They didn't even feel a lump, and there it was, okay? And along with the colorectal cancer screening, you need to know what is normal for you when it comes to your bowel movement. And I know everybody thinks, well, that's gross. And I remember when I was in working with pediatrics, I used to ask the mom, you know, when's the last time the baby had a bowel movement? Or when's the last time your two-year-old had a bowel movement? What did it look like? What was the consistency? And they thought it was just totally gross, but it's not. What you have to understand that whatever comes out of your body or whatever your body uses, whether it's essential or whether it's waste, it does bear on your health. So you need to be very cautious of your bowel movements, be cautious of any changes, be cautious of any color change, any consistency. I have people calling and saying, I'm passing black stools. They're not on iron. And my first thing is you get to the emergency room because obviously you have a GI bleed. And some will say, well, the blood is not black. It's, you know, real red. Well, my next thing, are you constipated? Do you have hemorrhoids? Because that normally that's what's happening, and you have the rectum area is very vascular, so you've popped a blood vessel there. And usually the cure with that is it should clear up, but make sure your stools are soft. So don't be afraid to talk about your stool, and don't be afraid to look at it to see if there's anything different. Then I see there's a lot of people that have significant weight loss that's sudden or unexplained. They're eating, but they're still losing weight. And when you suddenly drop 20 pounds or more in over a few months without trying to or changing, you know, your way of eating, this is a signal. One of it can be diabetes because you're eating, but the food is not being retained. You're losing it. It could be cancer. That's another way we start looking at cancer. And there's several other things. But when you're having significant weight loss in a month or so, you need to be talking to your doctors about that. The other thing is teaching your children good dental habits, and you should do it at an early age. A lot of times we'll ask, did you brush your teeth? And they'll say yes. But you need to look at how they're brushing their teeth. You know, if they're really brushing it or just going in, like I caught one of mine doing, putting toothpaste on the toothbrush, a couple rubs and rinsing it out. No. We need to watch them do it and then teach them the importance of brushing their teeth and flossing because small cavities, you know, when their children can turn into larger ones as an adult. Now, I was bad on that. I was afraid of needles. It was hard for dentists to get my mouth open. And so I was much older when I had good dental care. And, of course, and I still have my teeth. You know, I lost some, but I still have my teeth. But I had periodontal disease because I would not go to a dentist because I was afraid. And my mother took me but they couldn't get my mouth open. And so when I finally got old enough and I went, what they had to do is give me Valium to get my mouth open because I was so afraid. And it stemmed from having a tooth pull where it wasn't completely deadened. And so I would never go back. The other thing people have to understand, too, is cavities, periodontal disease, all this can get into your bloodstream. And if you know, your mouth is close to your brain, so it can become a problem. So teach your children to brush your teeth, watch them, let them know the importance of flossing. I like the little mini floss now. You can just take it. You don't have to have that big thing. And I get in the back more readily with that than having to undo the roll and wrap it around your fingers. So we need to teach them this at a very early age. And the other thing is know your medication. This is a pet peeve with me. Know what you're taking. If you can't spit it off your head, then you need to have a list. I don't care if it's vitamins. I need to know because people do not understand vitamins can interact with certain medication. So you need to know your prescribed medicine. You need to know the medicines that you take over the counter, whether you take them every day or whether you take them as needed. You need to know the name of the medicine, the dose of the medicine, how often you take the medicine. Please don't tell me that little red pill because the company may change that little red pill when they get it. You know, pharmacies use different companies, so they may change that little red pill to a little pink pill. Make sure that you have a record of your medicine. A lot of people have started keeping it on their phone. And please don't forget your vitamins and your supplement. And when we ask you if you drink, we're not asking if you're drinking alcohol. We need to make sure that you're getting plenty of water. Okay? Now, I may ask, if I want to know if you drink alcoholic beverages, I will ask you exactly that. Do you drink alcoholic beverages, including beer? But when I ask you if you're drinking a lot, most time I preface that, are you drinking a lot of water? Another thing with taking your medication, you know, it's important that you take your medication with water, okay? One of the things that we're seeing more and more is medical advice online, okay? I'm not really in favor of that, and I'll tell you why. I'm not saying it's not good for some people, but a lot of times they don't have blood tests, okay? You don't tell them everything. They're not looking at you, so they're not, sometimes they're not able to, and if they are, they're not able to see all that they need to see. I would be very cautious about medical advice online. Not my favorite, but for some people, they say that works for them. You know, that's why I don't like people prescribing medicine online. You don't have any blood tests, so how do you know that's the right dosage for me, you know, or even the right medication? You have to look at that and be sure, okay? So it's very important to know your medicine and be familiar with the side effects, and if you don't, it's always good just to look them up. The pharmacy usually gives you a paper with the side effect. They always ask you if you want to be counseled. So this is one thing you need to know. And in this article, they did share some information of the incident. It says that EMT instructor shared a story about asking the patient about their pertinent medical history, specifically if they had high blood pressure. And the patient responded that they didn't have high blood pressure, but later stated that they took medicine to lower their blood pressure. So, you know, and I've had patients to do that. So technically they don't have high blood pressure. The reason they don't, because the medication is controlling it. So you still have high blood pressure, but the medication is controlling it. So sometimes when you ask people questions, you really have to delve into it very detailed, because suppose she just, that person had just taken them at their word, and then something happened, you know, and it could have really gone undetected. And as you know, blood pressure is a silent killer. So you need to be mindful of that. A lot of people, when they have eye problems, they go to the ER, and I always tell them, you need to see an eye doctor, okay, either an ophthalmologist or an optometrist. My optometrist, he takes call, and even if you're not his patient, if you're having an eye issue, he will take you. Because a lot of times when you go into the ER, they give you some antibiotics and send you on home. And like I was explaining the incident with my oldest sister, she knew there was a problem with her eyes. She didn't know, she didn't have any pain. It was just that fog over her eyes. And so what she did is, she went to her ophthalmologist. Her ophthalmologist did the test and then sent her to the hospital. And, of course, they think she had a retinal stroke. So when you have eye problems, and they come down there to us all the time, and we send them, thank God we have optometry in our clinic now. And we tell them they have to go to optometry because it could be something serious, and we're not qualified to fully diagnose you because we don't have the diagnostic tools to have you looked at. So that's why we send them, tell them to go to the optometrist. And I did talk to you about gum disease and the how it can create other problems. You know, it can create heart problems, joint problems, certain cancers, stuff like that. So it's good to go make sure you visit your dentist every 6 months, you know, for your cleaning. Very, very important, very important. Then it goes on to talk about a patient that that came in with a painless lump in her neck. She said that it appeared to happen after she was cleaning up from a flood. So she just figured it was some sort of infection from the nasty water that she had been around. But her sister urged her to get it checked out, and just to appease her sister, she went in. And she said, I'm not worried about it. It doesn't hurt and doesn't really bother me. You know, I just want her to, and she said, I just want her to stop bugging me. And that sounds so familiar with my patients. And the lump was about the size of a hazelnut. And after they did the scan and subsequently biopsied the lump, she was diagnosed with non-Hodgkin lymphoma. She did well with the treatment, is in remission, but she may not have been so fortunate if she had not gone to the doctor, and had that checked out. She literally saved her life. And so that's why it's so important. The other thing is, and I see this a lot, leg or extremely swelling. If you experience that after you've been on your feet all day, that's one thing. I mean, that's typical. But if you notice it's consistent on days without doing a lot of walking or standing, that could be a sign of something else. So when my patients called down and said, my ankles are swelling, my legs are swelling, and my first thing to them is after I've checked their medicines, because there are some medicines that will cause swelling. Amlodipine for blood pressure is one that can cause swelling. So my question to them, okay, have you been on your feet all day? Yeah, I'm doing a lot of walking. Yeah. Okay, now tell me about what it does when you sit down and prop up your legs. Does it go down? If they say yes, I don't worry about it. And if they say no, and then my next thing is when you go to bed at night and you get up the next morning, is it still swollen? And if they say yes, there's an issue there. There's an issue there. So what we're going to start looking for is some kind of vascular problem. Is there a blood clot? Plaque buildup in the arteries of the legs that's keeping the blood flow. I ask them if there's any redness or if it's warm to touch. And a lot of questions, but if the signal to me is it's not going down. You go to bed at night and your legs don't go down, your ankles don't go down, yeah, we have a problem. And so I always have them to come in. And we look at it, and based on what we see, we send them right out for a scan. We send them to the emergency room if we suspect possibly a blood clot. And my last one, which is a biggie. My patients come down to the clinic all the time. I'm having chest pain. Okay, how long you been having chest pain? The last 2 days. All right. So, any pain in your arm, any numbness, any tingling? A little bit, but it went away, okay? Any pain in your jaw, your neck? Not really. I got back pain, though, okay? So why are you coming down here is my question. A lot of people brush off chest pain as insignificant. Because they think it's something that they've done. And a lot of times they think it's reflux, and it could be, but you never brush off chest pain. Women especially, because your symptoms are atypical to the norm. You may have just jaw pain, maybe not even chest pain. So you have to be mindful. If your jaw keeps hurting, you keep having shoulder pain, okay? You need to check that out to be sure. But never go to a place that cannot efficiently triage you with chest pain. Primary clinics do not have diagnostic material. We can do, and I tell them this all the time, we can do an EKG, but to know if you're really having a heart attack, I need to do a troponin level. I cannot do that and get the results the same day. Go to ER. Even an urgent care can run a troponin level and get it the same day. We don't have that capability, but you should never, ever, ever ignore chest pain. That's the worst thing in the world to do. We've had people that have done that, and then as it turned out, they had multiple MIs, and they have damage to their heart. And I remember when I was having chest pain, but, you know, I have a stressful job, so I made excuses. And so I laid down there, and I kept having the chest pain. I thought, maybe I have reflux. So I had some Tums there, took some Tums, and still didn't go away. And it kept, and I did this for probably about 45 minutes to an hour. So finally, I called my goddaughter. I said, I'm having chest pains. I've done everything I know to do, and it's not going away. So they came, got me, took me to the ER. They did the test, and so my doctor came in to the ER, and he said, I want other tests done, and if they're negative, you can go home. Of course, they didn't do the test till late at night, didn't read it till the next morning, so I had to stay overnight. And basically, it was reflux. But this is the kicker. And I went to work and I told them about it, and they said, you know what? You never have problems if you eat yogurt. And you haven't been eating your yogurt like you used to. And I was like, I never even thought about that. So I started by eating. Well, the reason I wasn't eating yogurt, because the brand that I like, I couldn't find it in anything but Greek. And I cannot, Greek is not palatable to me, and I can't swallow that. So I did find one that I could eat, and I've eat it, and I've had no problems since. But you don't ignore it, because it could be reflux, and that's what mine was, but it's not always that. So that's going to be it for me tonight. Any questions, comments? Okay, well, I'm going to sign off for tonight, and you all be blessed. Have a good evening, and remember, do your preventative screening, women. Do your mammogram, your pap smears if it's appropriate. Everybody do their colorectal screening. Know your medicines. Know the name, the dose, how often you take it. I could care less about the color. Doesn't mean a thing to me. Be cognizant, aware of your bowel movements if there are significant changes. You need to be aware of that, because that could signal something to us. And, you know, just take care of yourself. Pay attention to your body. If it's not normal, then talk to your doctor about it. And by all means, when you go to the doctor, if you have some questions that you need to ask him and you think you might forget, write it down. Put it in your phone, whatever. And let him take the time to explain it to you. So I'm going to end for tonight. You all be blessed, and we will be back next week. Have a good evening and a good week. Stay safe, stay healthy.